Hi, Steve.
Okay, I think that's our group. Matt's here too. So 4 o'clock, 4:02 to be exact, according to my computer over here. So we'll kick the meeting off, call it to order. Before I call it to order, let me read the special note to the public. Due to the recommendations to limit gatherings to no more than 10 people in order to help slow the spread of COVID-19 virus, public access to the meeting will be provided via conference call to listen and participate in the meeting. Members of the public who would like to call in, dial 918-221-0224, enter 222-59294-65 pound sign when prompted for the meeting for the access code. We ask that you mute your phone if possible. Audio recordings of all board meetings will be posted on our website at www.storycountyiowa.gov shortly after the meeting is concluded. You may access these recordings at any time by clicking on the meeting and agenda buttons on the homepage. All right, with that note, we will have a roll call vote on who is here.
McGill.
Here.
Brecky.
Here.
Neubauer.
Here.
All right, board, in front of you, you have a copy of today's agenda. Do I hear any additions or subtractions to the agenda? If not, it will stand as provided. Also in front of you, you have the meeting minutes of our previous meeting. Do I hear any additions or changes to the minutes? If not, since we are conference calling, I would ask for a roll call vote or a motion to accept the minutes and then a roll call vote, please.
I move that we accept the minutes from last board meeting.
I'll second it.
We have a motion and second. Roll call vote, please.
So that was a motion by Brecky and a second by Neubauer, correct?
Correct.
Sorry, I should have said my name.
Okay. Brecky.
Aye.
Neubauer.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye. All right, moving on, we also have in front of you the findings of fact from our previous meetings for CUP 03-20-04. Do I hear any changes or to the findings of fact? If not, I'll accept a motion to accept the findings of fact.
Neubauer offers a motion to accept the findings of fact as written.
Brecky will second.
Motion and second. Stephanie, again, would you, I would ask for a roll call vote, please.
Neubauer.
Aye.
Brecky.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye. Let me ask you, sir, what else do we have on here from the public?
You have Chad and Halfill, representative for the Balbayani.
Okay. Give a name, complete spelling, so that we've got it for the record, as well as your address.
My name is Chadden. Chadden, Halfhill, Halfhill. My address is 1708 Plaza Circle, Windsor Heights, Iowa. I am representing the Eric and Judy Balbiani through Iowa Home Crafters. I own Iowa Home Crafters as well as Silent Rivers in Clive, Iowa. I also, for the record, I sit on the Board of Adjustment in Windsor Heights, and I wanted to just thank you all for taking your time. I know that service on a committee like this is a personal effort, and I, having served on a similar committee of about five there. It's important but challenging. It's hard to fit in times like this.
Well, welcome, Chatham.
Thank you.
Kind of give you a rundown of how we run the meeting. What we'll do is we'll ask for anyone who has public comments, if there is anyone out there, they want to comment on any issue that's come before the board, with the exception of the one that we're discussing this evening. Then after that, what we will do is then we'll hear the staff presentation on the request in front of us, and then you'll get an opportunity to give your side of the story, so to speak, and we'll go back and forth, and we'll conclude and give you a decision at the end of the meeting. The only thing I would add is let's try to hold any comments we've got 10 minutes. So.
Fair enough. So we're going to make sure I'm clear.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm just going to see if there's anybody else on the line in addition to Chatham. Chatham?
Yeah, this is Andrew Friend, homeowner 16117 550th Avenue, Story City.
Okay, I apologize, sir.
You're fine.
Any others? Okay, moving on. Are there any comments about any item that's come before the board except for what we're hearing on this evening? Hearing none, we'll move on to consideration of variance 02-20, Balambani variance request. Amelia.
Hello. Good afternoon, board. I have our intern, Emily Rizvik, here with me as well. She will be giving the background for this request, and then I'll just briefly summarize staff findings. So I'll turn it over to Emily.
Hi, good afternoon. So this request is for a variance to the minimum front setback for an attached garage at 27922 Tipper Road. The zoning of the subject property is R1 transitional residential, which establishes a minimum front setback of 40 feet. A 39-foot by 26-foot garage is proposed on the west side of the dwelling. The overhead garage door is proposed to be on the south side of the garage. You can find site plans on page 2 of the agenda center. The attached garage is proposed to have a setback of 33 feet from the Timber Road right-of-way to the west of the existing dwelling. The proposed attached garage requires a variance of 7 feet. The purpose of the variance is to preserve two trees on the site. The trees have been on the property for 30 years and provide shading to the home. Trees are pictured on the site photos on the agenda center. This proposal was developed after it was determined that a 32-foot wide garage that met the required setbacks would have required the removal of and or impacted the two trees, as there was not adequate maneuvering room around the trees and the pavement would strain on the roof. A smaller garage plan is shown on page 1 and 3 of the agenda center. A larger garage would allow for the overhead garage door and driveway to be located further west away from the trees. A relocation of the driveway so that the entry to the garage was on the west side of the garage rather than the south was also considered, but not possible due to a curve in Timber Road north of the subject property. The applicant also indicates a lack of maneuverability if a west-facing garage door was proposed with the existing drive. The existing dwelling was built in 1960 with a 20-by-26-foot attached garage on the west side of the dwelling. The applicant indicates that the existing garage is not large enough to accommodate two cars, a full-size truck, and an SUV on the east side of the dwelling. On the east side of the dwelling are the bedrooms, and on the west side of the dwelling is the living room and kitchen. The current existing laundry room is located in the basement. Additionally, there exists a detached garage northeast of the home used for storage. With an attached garage addition, the existing attached garage will be converted into a living room area. An additional bathroom, a laundry room located on the first level, and a pantry and den area as well. Adjacent properties to the east of Timber Road include three single-family dwellings with attached garages, Two of the dwellings are zoned R1 residential, which were built in 60s and 70s. One is zoned AR residential and was built in 2006. The average detached garage size of these dwellings is 565 square feet. To the west of Timber Road are two single-family dwellings zoned A1 agricultural. One was constructed in 1920 and includes a 50 by 30 attached garage attached with a carport between the dwelling and garage. When the garage was initially proposed in 2002, a variance was requested to the side setback from the north property line, citing that topographically, development had been limited due to trees located on the property. To meet the required 10-foot setback, the applicant would have to remove trees on the property. The Board of Adjustment remanded the request and asked the applicant to work with staff to meet the required setback. When the project was complete, the garage met the required 10-foot setback. Now I'll hand it over to Amelia for the legal principles.
Okay, so with a variance request, as you know, we have several legal principles and all must be met in order for the board to grant the variance. The first one is that there's a finding of an unnecessary hardship, and there's three findings that must be made for this finding. So the first is that the land in question cannot yield a reasonable return if used only for a purpose allowed in that zone. The applicant in their application indicated that if the trees were removed, new trees could be planted but would not provide the energy conservation that the current trees do, and that the trees add value to the property. They indicated that the removal of the trees would cost between $5,000 and $7,000 alone, and then they estimated the impact to the property value would be $10,000 to $15,000. Staff finds, however, that while there would be loss in value to the property, it's sufficient to establish that without the variance, there's no reasonable return on the property. You know, there is this existing dwelling, which has an existing attached garage, and the ability to, with the removal of the trees, construct a garage that would meet the applicant's needs while meeting the setback. The proposed 39-foot by 26-foot garage that would be allowed with the variance is 91% larger than the existing garage, or as a 32 by 26-foot garage that would meet the required setback would only be 57% larger than the existing garage. The next finding is that the plight of the owner is due to unique circumstances, and that's where the variance from the property across the road that was requested in 2002 comes into consideration. Again, this is a similar variance, but related to the side setback. Specifically, there were two trees that would have to be removed if the building was constructed meeting the setback. And the Board of Adjustment remanded that request and asked the applicant in that case to work with staff to redesign the garage to meet the setbacks. And the board concluded that the trees were not a unique circumstance in this case. The third finding is that the use be authorized by the variance will not alter the essential character of the locality. Staff did find that this was met. You know, the neighborhood is a combination of older subdivisions with similar sized dwellings and garages, houses in new subdivisions and undeveloped subdivision lots, as well as farmsteads with large accessory structures. You know, the average garage size of all adjacent dwellings, not just on the east side of the road, is 675 square feet, but the range is up to 1,500 square feet. The proposed garage with the variance, which is 39 feet by 26 feet, would be around 1,000 square feet, so it wouldn't be the largest garage in the area, and it would maintain the existing roof line and height of the home. And then finally, we have two other criteria that the board has to consider. The granting of the variance is not contrary to the public interest, and that the spirit and intent of the Story County Development Plan and land development regulations are protected. Staff had similar findings for these. So the Ames Urban Fringe Plan is the future land use plan in this area. And the Fringe Plan and the Story County Land Development Regulations have similar spirits and intents to maintain the county's rural character through density requirements and buffering. While the variance will not change the density of the property, because the property is zoned R1, it already has a smaller setback permitted than the other adjacent properties. We do have adjacent properties zoned AR Ag Residential and A1 Agricultural, where a 50-foot setback applies. Again, a 40-foot setback applies in the R1 zoning district. And so even allowing an even more reduced setback than is already allowed versus adjacent properties may set a precedent for the area. So staff found that these criteria were not met. You know, because staff could not find all the legal principles were met, we are recommending denial of the variance as requested. It is, again, a variance for 7 feet from the required 40-foot setback for the construction of a 39-foot by 26-foot attached garage at a setback of 33 feet from the front property line. Emily and I are happy to take any questions you may have for us now.
Yeah, Amelia, Randy here, a question on when was the house built?
It was built in 1960.
Okay, and there were restrictions then, or was it not?
Yeah, it meets current setbacks. Let's see, it currently has a setback of 72 feet from the right-of-way, so the requirement's 40 feet, so it exceeds the minimum setback requirement at this point. It's just a matter of placing a 39-foot addition on would make it not meet those requirements. But you could place a sizable addition, you know, 32 feet wide, and still meet the required setbacks.
Okay.
Okay. Other questions for staff?
I guess I do have another question. I was just measuring and looking at the tree and the positioning and so forth. It looks like the proposed variance is like 6 feet on the south and 7 feet on the north. Is that fairly accurate?
From the property line?
Correct.
For the property line.
The 7-foot encroachment into the setback is on the north instead of this, and it's less on the south and on the north. Is that correct?
Because of
the angle?
Yes. The property does have an angle. I sent a plat, a survey, to the applicant, and they were able to locate the property pins and measure on the site versus on Beacon to establish what the variance request was. So that's where that 7-foot distance came from.
Okay.
But you're right, it does vary.
So has there ever been a situation where the Board of Adjustments has taken like a 7-foot setback like that and said that they would accept 3 feet but not 7 feet?
It certainly could be, you could grant a variance for a different amount. You'd have to amend the findings to reflect why that would make more sense than the 7-foot variance, or why that would meet the findings if it was just a lesser variance. In looking at options, I think, again, what stuck with staff was removing the trees, you could meet the setback completely.
Correct, yeah. Well, I just took I built homes and did the additions and stuff for, close to 15 years, and it looked to me like the configuration, if you have 3 feet on the left side of the garage door, and they're proposing an 18-foot garage door, which is larger than most, which is a good idea for navigating, especially larger vehicles. And then if you have another, if you added another 3.5 feet, that takes you pretty close to that southwest tree. And so I just did the math, and it looks to me like you could, they could still do a pretty nice job of leaving the trees if they had a 3-foot variance instead of a 7. So that's why I was asking.
Sure, yeah. And if you wanted to, if the board wanted to amend the findings to reflect that, they certainly could, and you could approve a variance at a different distance.
Okay, this is Steve. If I read it correctly, instead of a 39 by 26, if they build a 32 by 26, they'd meet all of the requirements.
Right, and that's based on their submittal. They submitted a plan with a smaller garage that was within the setback. So it's on page 1 of the plans on the agenda center.
They've submitted that plan?
Yeah, it's page 1 in the site plan on the agenda center. They show how a smaller garage would be within the required setbacks.
Yeah, you're talking the picture where the garage door is to the west instead of to the south?
Correct. And then the third page as well is the concept plan showing how a 32-foot garage with an 18-foot door would meet the needs for the cars and that kind of thing on the third page.
On the third page.
Which that's okay. Actually, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, so is that third page, is that with the smaller garage?
Yes, the third page shows a 32-foot garage.
Okay. Sorry, I couldn't, my eyes aren't that good and I couldn't get it to blow up here.
No problem.
Okay,
it does seem like navigating to the west in and out might be a little more difficult than to the south. But yeah, no, I don't have any more questions.
Okay. Matt, any questions?
Who? Oh.
Matt?
No, I don't have any questions right now.
All right. Okay, then let's hear a response for the applicant.
Okay. Can you hear me? I want to make sure I'm off mute.
Yes.
Okay. Again, this is Chad and Hatfield representing Eric and Judy Balbiani. Judy had to work today, and Eric was hoping to attend after work, but realized he had a doctor's appointment. So they apologize for not being here. And my role in this has been the as a designer and intending to also be the builder or the remodeler in this case. I wanted to point out a couple things, and I know I need to keep this to 10 minutes. So I would like to just note the attached garage that's existing. If you go to your either of the site plans, the attached garage is in the quadrant that's to the north, where there's, you show a property corner, and it's way up there. So actually using that as a parking garage wouldn't make sense. That's the existing one up there. So that was not something that we entertained, because if you'd have to drive across the lateral fields or put a driveway back there, and that wasn't an option. Hence why we moved the garage to the west. That's one decision that was we decided was too expensive and too cumbersome in terms of using the property. The other thing that's challenging with this property for reference is that it faces south, but the street is to the west. I believe that it was possibly an old house on a larger parcel that was perhaps a farmhouse, and then it has been cut off and the ground was sold at some point, which is making it a bit challenged. The first site plan, call it the previous concept, we did have the west-facing garage doors. In fact, that's where we started, then found out that the property sits within the setback or the turning radius of the driveway, so we decided not to do that. We attempted to keep the facing, the west-facing garage door, but the maneuverability without having an outlet to Timber Road proved to be really challenging. It was just very awkward. They actually got out there and tried it. So we retooled the design and put the garage door on the south side. And you'll see visually on drawing set four the elevations of how that looks, so that you can tell that it was in keeping with the character. We really tried to uphold the character. And that was just that indicated that. I do want to note that Ben and Jara Jensen, that live to the south end, be the south and the east of this property, they hold that corner where Timber Road, the southeast corner of that area, and they did not write recommendation, but I did confirm with the homeowners that they talked to them, and Jara said that they were okay with this variance. I know that that may not hold a whole lot of weight, but I wanted to acknowledge that at least the main parcel that's adjacent to the property is okay with this request. My hopes was to, I'm not sure which of the members of the board mentioned this, but it was the builder or the prior builder. I requested 7 feet because I wasn't sure that exactly where we would end up in the design. But to give you some context for that request, the design of the submitted floor plan that shows the 32 feet garage fits really wonderfully for the cars and for the use. We actually like the size. Unfortunately, the trees are just really close to that the access of the interior, the right-hand side or the eastern car. It just gets really close. And so there's two things that worries the homeowners, is backing out and being really close to that tree, but also from an ecological or from a protective standpoint, they really, I guess I would advocate in many ways, they do not want to destroy that tree. And they wanted to get it far enough away so that the root ball wasn't strained. And so I stretched the request a little bit to ensure we had some latitude. I didn't know what would be acceptable if there was a middle ground. But I liked the proposal that the gentleman that was the builder mentioned. I think that was Brecky or McGill, but I'm not entirely sure of your guys' voices yet. But the idea of even shortening up that wall plane, that 4 foot, maybe a 3 foot, or to be able to stretch it so that maybe the variance could be 2 or 3 feet, then I think I can be able to accommodate everybody's goals. At least I would like to think so, that we could really honor and respect the buffer between the street and the house. We still allow this house to accommodate the use and the future use, because while I understand that in 2002 the other property didn't receive a variance, I think the relevance of trees and the importance to the operating and the shading of a house in terms of sustainable practices has changed a lot from 2002 to 2020. Trees offer a great deal of shade. They reduce operating costs, and that these two not only are setting this house up so that they can live on the top, on the first floor, they're trying to do it in an efficient manner so that the house actually maintains low operating costs. And so those are all things that were considered in the design. I am open to simplifying the square footage and reducing it, because I recognize that it was maybe a little bit high for the area, but I felt like I think the area has a mix, which was indicated, and I think I'd like to be able to find a solution that was perhaps a win-win for both the public as well as these homeowners. I think that would be everything on my notes that I felt might add to the conversation. Appreciate your time. Happy to entertain questions, too.
Thank you. Any questions, board?
Yeah, this is Matt here, Neubauer. And Shaden, if you could just clarify, I'm not sure I was following, looking at the original, the previous concept plan on the 32-foot addition with the garage door, I guess that to the left, I guess to the west. And there was a concern there with navigating the driveway was going to be an issue, or could you just clarify that a little bit?
Well, yes, there were two issues. I originally proposed to install a culvert and to drive out onto Timber Road and to have a zero turn. Then I found out that because of the curve in Timber Road, their whole property is in a 500-foot buffer, blindside buffer or something of that nature, that they can't have another access point for Timber Road. So we were not allowed to bring a driveway out. So that idea was not allowed. That said, we tried to come in from the original driveway and then to turn and drive into the garage door. The homeowners found that really hard to do. And I don't have that shown. It's just that they practiced it, kind of mocked it out on the property to see what it was. And that's when we decided to put the garage door on the south side. We actually attempted this version first because I felt like it would be easy to pull right in from the outside and then have a turnaround. You know, if there was an exception to that roadway setback as it relates to the blind circle, the blind curve. But my thinking is that's a public safety issue, so I don't think that would be permittable. And I think actually we talked to the county. I was working with somebody else, and I believe we conferred with them, and they recommended that we didn't have that option. And so we put the garage door on the south side and made the adjustments, and that's when the trees and the configuration of the house became a little more complicated. Did that answer your question?
Were you specifically asking about the 32-foot wide proposal with the garage door on the south side and that maneuverability issue?
Well, I'm looking at the one here, trying to understand, because I think just to follow with Shane's argument, he was talking about how the west side garage door has kind of been eliminated because they can't put the driveway on the Timber Road. If I'm understanding that correctly.
That's correct. Yeah, and I think the 32-foot garage door on the south side instead of a west-facing overhead garage door, a south-facing garage door, presented a maneuverability issue around the trees and the drain the driveway on the trees.
And Amelia is correct on that one. That is why we stretched it to 39 in order to give at 7 feet increase, it gave about we had about a foot, 2 feet on average. Those trees, by the way, are about 24 inches to 36 inches. The northern one is 24, and the southern one is about 36. In terms of their their diameter. We ended up with about a 7 to 8 inch circle around the root or away from the tree. So I think one could be closer to the trees without, but we just didn't want to be right on top of the main root structure. That was what we were trying to accommodate, is finding a middle ground in there that allowed for roots to get water and to not put the burden of a vehicle on those roots. And it could possibly be done if we're maybe 4 or 5 feet away from a tree. You know, I don't know if there's a real perfect science in that. At least I don't know of it. But we were just trying to be sensitive to the major emphasis of the major tree structure. Plus, I think there was some concern about scraping up against the tree at the 32-foot, because of the right-hand side of that garage door does get pretty close to those trees. I wish that I had put in the I wish I had put the trees in the actual floor plan, because you could see them in relationship to the garage door, but I don't have that in the set that was provided. Actually, that's why I took. I think you have photographs, and I kind of took a picture of the trees as they related to the edge of the old addition, because equivocally that shows you where those trees are, and then it kind of shows you how we're putting the door to the left. But you have to use your mind to be able to see that.
Right, and you're basically converting. You're converting the old garage area into living space.
Correct. Because we were looking at that as it was already a narrow garage to begin with, and at one version I also explored an idea of stacking the laundry and the new bathroom north and south, and not including the den, and then parking a car on the right hand side of the tree and on the left hand side of the tree, but then it got kind of complicated in how you actually had to. I had one driving in. I had them splitting by the trees, which was just an odd thing, because you kind of squeezed it. You had to squeeze the car in between the old wall of the old garage and the new wall of the mudroom laundry. But that's I don't have that. I wish I apologize for not being able to present these to you. I could pull them up on my computer, but.
That would be difficult, I would imagine, to have a tree in the middle of a double car garage.
Yeah. And then I even explored, then I also liked the idea when they opened up the idea of using the old garage, it allowed me to insulate that entire interior finish, rebuild a new floor, and really simply tie all those systems into the existing house, and then treat the garage as a separate entity, even though it's attached. It just made the construction actually quite a bit more systemically cleaner. It was just trying to adjust it so that there was enough room around those trees. So one of the reasons why I liked the idea from the builder, because I was like, I think it could be reduced, where we could reduce another 1,000, maybe 100, 125 square feet, 3, 4, 5 feet, pull it back, and still have some room around that tree that would provide the comfort to the client to be able to, or to the homeowner to be able to navigate, but also give enough. I think I could maybe even do some things with guttering to maybe pull some of the water down and help service those trees in a different way, because it's going to have, you'll have permeable surface around the driveway.
Okay.
I know that's not zoning. That's more about design layout, but it's I'm trying to find that balance in there, and I'd love your input.
So, Chad, I have one for Chad. Is it fairly close to scale, the trees and the drawing that we have? I'm assuming it is.
Go back to them. They should be. I requested them. It looks like one's bigger than the other, which is the indicator. And the one in the rear is also about the size of the big one in the front. I think I reversed which ones were which, but I could look it up and tell you for sure.
No, that's fine. I was just, when I scaled it, there was about 28 and a half feet from the left, the current proposal to the trees. Mm-hmm. And I just went back to what I had typically done in the past, like needing 3 feet and then a door. Mm-hmm. And I gave you 3.5 feet on the right side of the door. And I love the idea of an 18 foot overhead instead of 16, which most of them are. And so, that's where I come up with the 3 feet that I thought would probably be doable, but I don't know what my peers are gonna think.
Understood. I actually believe that would be very my thought on that is that it would accommodate the needs of the household, and I can't speak to the needs of the county but I would like to think that it would be a positive compromise. Or a solution that could maybe honor both goals.
Yeah, that's all I have.
Jerry, point of order here, or a question. If there is an option like that, is that something that we need to table and the applicant needs to bring back to us? Or if one of the board members wanted to make that motion, is that a possibility?
I think it's something that could be addressed by the Board of Adjustment tonight at this meeting. I need to remind you that this is a public hearing item, so we need to see if there's anybody that has any comments from the general public. But
I wanted to make sure that the board members knew if that was an option or not.
Yeah, but like Amelia said, though, you've got to base that on the legal principles that are in the ordinance. So if you're going to deviate from what was requested, from what the staff recommendation is, you've got to do it based on the legal principles.
Understand. All right, any comments from the rest of the public? Hearing none, do I hear any comments, any more input from the board? Or not from the board, from the staff, excuse me.
This is Jerry. I guess I have a question for Chadden, and it gets to the relationship with the trees and the proposed south wall or footing of the project. I mean, that's a decent-sized tree. How do we know that the tree won't be impacted with this project, the root system?
That's a good question, Jerry. I think a lot of times when working around trees, we've done them before where we are sensitive with the tree, where if there's roots to go across the footing, one thing we would usually do is protect the tree, surround the tree during construction so that the root ball doesn't get overly compacted. But the proximity, and I don't have my scale, I should probably show that dimension, but I think it's about 20 feet, 18 to 20 feet. It's a fairly decent distance from the first tree to the footing hole or where you would dig a foundation. And it's about 4 feet, so it wouldn't be as intensive as, let's say, digging a basement, and the overdig wouldn't need to be as big. But what we have historically done as a company is we cut the roots very simple, very cleanly. That helps them. We have actually a guidebook that we use when you're building or remodeling an addition. And we've had very good success of maintaining the trees. I mean, it's never 100%. There's always something could get in there in terms of a bugger or some type could put stress on the tree or could be already stressed on the tree that we could further impact. But as a general rule, we have a really good record of those trees living because we're cognizant of the roots when we actually dig. I also think that the distance away is still enough that it's not going to have as impactful as, let's say, we were half the distance. I don't know if that answered your question, but I feel quite positive about this.
Yeah, this is Amelia. That was helpful. To clarify, the location of the southernmost footing for the attached garage wouldn't change whether or not variance is requested. It'd still be the same distance from the trees.
Correct. I mean, we wouldn't change the southernmost. But I mean, from a standpoint of risk to the tree, there is that. We have it's in our standards book. I'd be happy to. I think I saw it the other day and can look it up and send you a copy if you're interested, Jerry, or Amelia. It's just out of reference. I mean, it's something that we've. Uh, I I acquired Iowa Homecrafted from Dave Hayden last year, and it's one of the things that he actually, we've talked about this because we recently put an addition right next to a tree within about 6 feet, and we took a lot of precaution to be able to protect the tree. So it's just something that when you work in a wooded area, you try to be really cognizant of those older trees because they do provide value to both the house in terms of operating, but also in terms of character and enjoyment. And that was just an important part of this client's goals, and that's partly why I'm advocating as hard as I am, because I think the importance of trees is growing in our culture. So.
Is it possible, this is Steve, as I'm looking at this drawing, Chatham, is it possible to push that 32-foot, the very first one there? Looking at my directions here.
Are you looking at the first site plan?
Yes. To take that further north? I mean, but it gives more clearance for those trees.
So that's a good point. We could go a little bit. There is a water line limit. The water line is about, once we put the addition on that's there with that bump out, the water line is about four more feet, maybe five more feet to the north. So we had a limit there. The reason we did it this way is that the reason it was actually designed this way was we were going to carry the ridge of the house because it is a ranch, and we wanted to carry the visual. It was just easier structurally to be able to match the truss system that's there and line it all up so that it would actually stack up and root. But it could be you could push the entire thing back a little bit and see if you could do a setback. That is another option that could be entertained.
Yeah, I assume that you're trying to use the same ridge line as the rest of the house.
Yeah.
And it looks to me like, this is Randy, that the further north you go, the closer the setback. I mean, kind of a, you're seven. If you pushed it back 5 feet, you might be 7.5 feet currently. I think it would grow a little. Unfortunately, the wrong way.
Yeah. All right.
Good point. That taper does tilt to the east, if you will, at the northern end. That's the way the road curves.
Okay. All right. So here we are. Any other comments, staff?
I think, I appreciate how the reduced variance could possibly meet, the public interest criteria and the spirit and intent of the Story County Development Plan criteria B and C, but just encourage the board to make sure that the findings for reasonable return, that without the variance, a reasonable return can't be had on the property, and that the trees are a unique circumstance, unlike the precedent of that previous variance, would also need to be met.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you, board, the area that I'm a little bit leery in is trying to craft some sort of an approval again, as Jerry pointed out, with the legal principles involved. I think that there's some options here that the individuals doing the submitting could do to get this to a point that we could give them an approval. But I'd hate to see us try to makeshift something put together over the top of the staff. You understand what I'm saying?
So this is Brecky, and I do understand, and I was going to ask yeah, which I guess I've sort of heard already, you know, how, I mean, I've read through this entire, you know, proposal, and I feel like there's a little bit of latitude, you know, and it's difficult sometimes to say that this will or will not impact something in a certain way.
Yeah.
But, and so that's why I just scaled it out, and it's like, I think it would be doable, and if you did a 3-foot variance, it's actually, at least according to the scale that I was using in the drawing that I had in front of me, it would be only 2 feet on the south, but it would go to 3 foot on the back of the garage, or on the northwest corner would be like 3 feet, and then the front, the southwest corner would be 2 feet, and it just, the math just worked if the trees are positioned right. I personally, as a builder, I hated taking down large established trees, and so I just looked at the area, and I've been to that area many times, and I know Dave Lohman, who at least he used to live on north on that private drive, and so just knowing the area and whatnot, I didn't know how that would, I mean, it doesn't feel to me like, it feels like a win to get just a little bit past, but still be able to navigate past some nice established trees. So that's my take.
Well, my take also is, if you can protect the trees, they take so long to grow. They do add from, I can tell you this from looking at appraisals, that sort of thing in here, they do add value to the property. But again, as far as trying to craft something, I would be more, I hate to put it off, but I'd be more in favor of tabling this, going back to let the staff work on it with Chatham and the submitting party, so that we don't do something that we may regret later.
This is Jerry. I'm wondering if, because I don't think we've talked about it, it looks like a pretty sizable tree was already removed. Could Chatham talk about that tree? It looked like it was maybe a 2.5-foot caliper.
Yeah. My understanding, and this, I did not remove it, so I can't. But my understanding is it was both in the direct way of the exactly where the garage is going to be on the west side, and it was dying. I don't know what it was dying of, but they actually wrote about it, and because I will say that the submittal, I asked them to answer the questions first, and then I cleaned up the language and added some of my comments from a designer and building perspective, but they have answered that in the written response and had mentioned that the tree was on its way out. Unfortunately, I don't know a lot about what caused that demise of that tree. I know it was demise because it was cut down, but I mean, I don't know why it was dying. So I can't answer that. I can get that information.
And this is Brecky, and I did read that in the, you know, they said it had some type of a disease or, you know, and then I don't know, obviously can't verify anything, but I do remember reading that in the material we have in front of us. That's why they took it down / planning for the future, I guess.
And I took a picture of that in the site because I wanted you to see the fact that the gable was going to be coming out, but that old tree was also in kind of more direct relation where the addition was going to go. So more specifically, so then in many ways they've already removed one tree, which I don't think they wanted to do, but I think it was more of a necessity in this case. And I recognize that the county may feel the other two trees maybe a necessity, but I would like to argue that I think there's maybe a good solution here that could provide both the homeowners and the clients a legal solution. What I am curious about, and if I'm allowed to ask this, let me know otherwise, does the orientation of the house, because it doesn't face the street, does that provide special circumstances and special conditions because it was built, and I don't know how it was all subdivided and how parcels were broke up over time since the 1960s, but when you're trying to accommodate a set of rules that were about a front-facing view, and we're adding something that to the side of the house, but trying to also come, I wondered if that might help solve some of these discussions meeting some of the criteria of the special conditions, because these trees are really in the front of the house. They're not the side of the house. And so part of that is the fact we're trying to balance the fact that the house faces, doesn't face the road. And so there's this kind of odd condition that makes this a little more compounded. And I wondered if that could help the staff write a legal or allow for this variance to both be self-contained to this parcel and not disrupt future expectations because of the uniqueness of its orientation. I'm not sure if that would help.
This is Amelia. We did look at, you know, how the house was built, and the driveway has been the same since 1960.
Mm-hmm.
We did not find that was a unique circumstance because it's in the original orientation. How a house faces does not impact which property line is considered the front property line. It's where your access is taken.
And this is Jerry. Like Amelia said, the ordinance does not regulate orientation. It's more of a personal preference or a property owner preference. There could be a view maybe to the east that the house could face that view potentially.
And that makes sense, especially in an R1 or an AR. These are a little bit new zoning codes for me, districts. But it makes sense from a code. I'm curious if it provides the board a way to write what they were saying. But so.
All right. Any more comments from the staff?
I guess I would just add that if it was remanded back to staff and the applicant worked with a smaller variance request. Again, I don't think that would impact staff's findings if the first two criteria for the finding of a necessary hardship are met. And so we probably still would not be able to recommend approval. So it would end up probably taking board action to amend those findings in the end.
Okay. All right, any other questions, board, for the staff? Any final comments? Huh?
Yeah, Brecky here for Amelia. So I'm not sure if I understand. Is that something we haven't done in the past then? Because I'm not interested in ramrodding something through or, acting as if the staff hasn't done a good job, because I don't think that's the case. I just simply did a simple math and was trying to keep the trees, and I thought you could maybe squeeze as much as 4 foot off that garage, and it would still, so it would be 35 instead of 39.
So that is something that you all have done in the past, and that's absolutely an option. But it would, if you sent it back to staff, the findings, we wouldn't change the findings. It would be up to you. So in the past, when you've suggested an amendment to staff's recommendation, the board themselves have to change the findings, is what I'm saying.
Okay. So if I were to make a motion, like, you know, we typically, you guys provide the four different options.
Mm-hmm.
And is it, if I were to make a motion on number 2 and change it, some of the wording in the seven, of course, would go to three and so forth. How would that unfold?
Right. So in order, yeah, you could do that, but first you'd need to go through each of the legal principles that staff found were not met and amend how they would be met by reducing the variance. You know, that's a power, that's up to the board to do.
Okay.
Randy, this is Jerry. Do you have those principles in front of you?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I have, I just been moving around from screen to screen. I know, let me scroll back up to where the legal stuff started.
And it'll be in the staff report also.
Yeah, so I'm at the
five of the staff report.
Yeah, I see that where it says legal principles on the very bottom of page four, and then, yeah, then it starts through. So what it, yeah, and, you know, like I said, I read through this, and it just seemed like, you know, a lot of times it's, you guys do an awesome job of making sure that it makes sense for us to move forward, and I'm not sure which one would be in compromise if we compromise the footage a little, because yeah, I mean, I understand what Amelia is saying, that if it doesn't work at seven, it doesn't work at three, just as the earlier, you know, facts were stated that the foundation is going to be the same whether it's 30 feet or 40 feet or 39 or 32. I mean, the foundation proposal is, you know, so the damage to the tree in that regard is going to be the same. And so, but all I would, you know, so the footing in my mind is like, yeah, it is a bummer if you have to sever tree roots, which likely will take place. It might be difficult to know what tree roots you're severing if they've removed a large one there already. But I've been there, and yeah, like Chad had mentioned, you have to strategically try and do your best to protect what you want to protect, but then the footing foundation, if you will, can't be moved, but I thought maybe we could squeeze it in and allow some extra room so they could continue on with the, leaving the tree, but I'm not sure how to go through that.
I think in the past you started with, like, the first finding of a necessary hardship and offered amendments there. So on, like, reasonable return in the past, when staff has found that criteria is not met, I think, for instance, you've offered why approving the variance would yield reasonable return on the property, and why the trees are a unique circumstance. I think that's just a discussion that would need to take place.
Okay, yeah. So basically the unnecessary hardship would be basically that if we allowed them an extra 3 feet, they could keep the trees instead of remove them at a large fee, and then they're no longer there. So, I mean, there's a kind of a double. Obviously, you've got to remove them at a fee, and then you've got to replace them at a fee. And so that's, I guess, how I would look at the unnecessary hardship. The second one, granting the variance, will not be contrary to the public interest. It seemed to me like, since nobody commented, there wasn't a huge concern about this. And according to Chad, and the closest neighbor said they were not concerned. I know we don't have document of that, but and then Jerry, of course, might have to, you know, or you, Amelia, in regards to the spirit and intent of the Story County Development Plan and Story County Land Development regulations are protected. So that one, I would need help from the board figuring out how we would look at that. And I don't know, I guess it's a little odd setting in my office instead of looking at body language and, you know, people yawning and so forth. But I don't know where, Steve and Matthew stand at this point. So I guess I'm just going to ask because I don't want to take up everybody's evening for no reason.
Well, my position is, like I said, it takes forever to get those trees grown. In my experience, in the area of loaning money has shown that if you take a wooded lot, it's worth substantially more than a bare lot. So the trees add value. My biggest concern on trying to wordsmith this is, again, as pointed out in the board, staff report, we need to be careful because we may be setting a precedence that we have to live with later on, or someone does. I see the quandary therein in trying to build this thing. That's why I was asking if they could push it further to the north. But if they've got a water line in there, that's another problem.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the property owners. I don't know Chad, so there's no I'm just looking at it from an ex-builder, if you will, going, man, if we can save those trees. So I got my scale out and started doing the math and said, man, I think you could still. And I understand if Chad is asking for seven, that's probably what I would have done in the past as well, because I want to be for sure certain that it's they love their addition, and so but I'm just saying it seems doable with less of an encroachment, and so
I got a chuckle because you nailed me. That's exactly what I told him. I said, well, we got to ask for something. What do we ask for? I actually think seven's too much because I think it makes the space too big visually. But I feel like you're better off asking, because if you don't ask for enough, you don't get anything. And if you come over here, you at least have your latitude to really then work within the design and give them what they want and try to meet the goals of the county. So I you're right off. And I'm sorry you guys can't see me. I would have loved to present in person because I do, having sat in your shoes, I've never had to do this on a phone. And it's very hard because I want to show you pictures and I want to show you the process. But I utterly appreciate what you're talking about because it's hard to be in your own office and not see those nuances and to be able to have a conversation at the even at the county. I would have come in to Amelia and worked with her directly. But I know we're all limited to that right now.
Chad, this is Jerry, and I'm looking at the floor plan that shows the 32-foot wide plan. Is there about 8 or 9 feet on the, it'd be the right side of that overhead door? Do you need that much space?
Or remind me of which page, and then I'll go find it. I've been moving around a little bit.
Page three. Just look at the. Where did I put it? It shows the detail of the layout.
Yeah, I'm just not sure where my plans went. They were up, right?
Just trying to figure out how much space is needed. Looks like some of that is shown as storage.
I gotta go pull it up again. I don't know where it went because it was it was on my screen. I've been following it the whole time. Number three, the right-hand side of the garage, where it says storage, what, and you're saying, can that be shower? Or can be, can that, do I need that much room?
Correct.
I don't think so. It's just that, it's just the idea that that's an area, a bank of cabinets. The space between the car and that bank of cabinets is could be shallower. It doesn't need to be as big.
So wouldn't that impact the width then and the setback if you're able to make a narrower garage addition?
Yeah, but this is again, if you make it narrower, that right-hand side of the garage door, the relevant point is where you go from four feet in from the garage door to the where the 18 feet starts, and then at the end of that door on the right-hand side of that garage door, that between that space and where, let's say, the line is, the measurement line, where it says 19 and 6 and 1 half, that space there is where those trees are, kind of. It's in that. That's why that's as wide as it is. I wouldn't have made that garage wide, but I was trying to get that garage door to open up on the western side of those trees. And so this is that. This plan, as you're seeing it, is the 32-foot plan. If we actually were to go to 39 feet, you would actually have a bigger storage space. It actually would end up becoming even bigger, almost grossly bigger, because you would end up having 9 feet in there. I mean, that's from an interior perspective. The issue is that the trees are just out. If you take this 32-foot plan, which is the one on page three, and you were to go south, which is to the bottom towards the page, and you go straight out from, let's say, the line of those measurements, roughly speaking, there's a tree about the length of that garage door, directly, like about where it says door schedule, there's the first tree is right about there, and then the other tree is slightly west, so kind of in alignment with where the garage door is, just on the inside of that, about the place of where the left-hand casement window is, W1. That's where those two trees sit, if that makes sense. So I can certainly make the garage thinner, but the issue is where those trees sit in relationship. I mean, if I that current plan that you're looking at in floor plan number one is the 32-foot one, which is already, that actual floor plan complies with the site plan, or complies with the setback. You'll see in the notes what we submitted, we didn't redraw the plan to 39 inches, and the reason we didn't want to spend our money redrawing the plan, so we only did a conceptual site plan showing 39 feet, because if you said can't build it, we're just going to go back and try to figure out another solution. What I was hoping, I mean, in all honesty, I was hoping that you'd either say, yes, 39 feet, we give you that 7 feet, or no, we don't think 7 feet, but we think it's fairer to say, we want to honor the buffer, but we understand that you're under a unique circumstance, and we will allow you a couple feet, you know? And I don't know how to legally do that and I think that's what the board is trying to wrestle with. But if I could get 2 or 3 feet, I can keep it really close to that variance line, but at the same time accommodate those trees. And that was, in all honesty, that was my hope. Was that I didn't know if you would give me. I mean, I thought, well, I didn't realize to the extent of why the 50-foot setback was what it was. I understand that reading Amelia's point of view. And I honor that because I really do realize that the agricultural scale and housing in an agricultural context is different. So I just wondered if there's a way that that can be recognized so that it doesn't compromise future setbacks, because I certainly don't want to disrupt public interest. I just wanted to be able to accommodate the circumstances of the site and provide service to these clients. And they're really gentle people, so I recognize that they're not trying to pull the wool over you or anything like that either. And the only thing I can think that might add some value as I was listening to everybody is maybe there could be the caveat that it could be an approved variance with the expectation that we get a letter of support or a letter of permission from the neighbor that has the adjacent lot to the direct south. And that might provide the board and the county some assurance that this is an exception, not a rule that's going to redefine the setback requirements. Because we certainly don't want. I see why you don't want to do that.
Is the existing attached garage, is that a single or maybe a car and a half, and you're proposing like a 2.5 car garage?
So I was proposing to move the garage. We just made the garage bigger simply because they really want to protect the trees. It wasn't really that they need another car garage space. What they want is a two-car garage, and they want a space which is the rear for shop. He's a machinist, and in retirement he wants to have a place where he can enjoy his trade. And so that rear is the workspace, and then there's the place for two cars. The only reason that there's a little bit more space for storage and entry there is simply because I've tried to adjust the additions to accommodate those trees. That's really the only reason that garage is as big as it is. They're not really interested in having, I think everybody wants a little bigger garage. There's only getting a bigger garage, the more stuff you have. But it wasn't designed to be a 2.5 car garage or anything particular to that. It's really designed to be a 2-car garage with ample room to open doors because they don't have that room now. And to be able to create workspace at the rear so that he has a little shop that he can continue to trade outside of his work life cycle. That's really the intent.
This is Newbauer. I just wanted to say, I think if we decide that we want to move forward with granting something, we, as Emil pointed out, we have to find a resolution to the point one and two of the finding of unnecessary hardship, the reasonable return. Whether we grant 7 feet or 3 feet or whatever we do, they're kind of the same. That we have to meet those. And I guess Steve and Randy, I think I can be persuaded that there's a reasonable return could be met with the cost of the removal of the trees. I think in the staff findings it talks about the size of the garage, and I don't see that as the concern about the reasonable return. It seems that the concern is really by building this garage, unless it's the size they're looking for, the trees need to come down. And so there's a cost to that, removing the trees, and then potentially some value loss to the property as well. And the other one is a unique circumstance, and that's the one maybe where I'll see what the rest of you all think. It doesn't set a precedent if we say that there's a unique circumstance involved in preserving mature trees. What does that mean for us?
Well, this is Brecky, and just wanted to say that, you know, earlier, Matthew, you said that whether it's, you know, 7 or 4, it doesn't. I'm not sure you said it doesn't really matter, but I think I understand what you're saying, and that is it's still encroaching on the setback that's been placed for obvious reasons, but what I was saying, and I think you've heard, I just want to confirm that your understanding, my point of view was 7 would be nice, but I'm saying, okay, maybe the terminology a Cadillac is what I can say, and who knows if you like a Cadillac, but, you know, I'm saying, okay, let's scale it back to a Chevy, because that's adequate transportation. It might not be luxury transportation, but, and that's where I come up with my 3 by scaling it, just saying the trees could stay. And like I said, I just scaled it all out. I gave them 3 feet on the left side of the garage. I gave them an 18-foot door, and I gave them 4.5 feet on the right side. And then, boom, you're up against the tree. And so to me, that's navigationable. I mean, it's likely that someday someone's going to back into a tree, but hopefully they get it figured out before that happens, that you back up 26 feet and then you start turning, whatever that is. But yeah, so that's where, to me, it's like, you know, if I were to go visit Dave Lohman in 3 years and that garage was there, in my past experience encroaching 2 or 3 feet into a setback is usually almost not noticeable without a tape measure going. But if somebody pushes 7 feet or so into a setback, then just because of my past history, I'm going to cruise by and go like, wow, does that mean setback? That's sticking out there, you know, I mean, so that's the background I'm working with in coming up with 3, which if you scale it, that would actually be 3, you know, as I mentioned earlier, in the northwest corner, and would only, unless they chose to make a crooked wall on the garage, which usually doesn't happen, would only be 2-foot encroachment on the southwest where they enter it. So it seemed nominal for a big gain to me to be able to leave the trees and still get in and out of your garage.
So, Randy, it sounds like what you're thinking is what we could do is grant a variance of 3 feet, because that's what we think is probably the smallest amount that would let them keep the trees.
Correct, yeah. I mean, I've built several garages and several homes, and I know Chadden has 4 foot on the left of the garage door, and that's nice, because then you can hang stuff on the wall and still easily open your door. But 3 foot is a very, very adequate, in my opinion, because, you know, you don't drive in with the car scraping the side of the door. You're in a foot-ish. And so you still have your 4 feet, even though it's only if the door starts at 3. And of course, I think most would understand that that's from the outside of the, you know, the framing. It's not the footage inside. But, yeah, so that's why I gave him 3 instead of 4. So I pulled the foot away there, and I gave him an 18-foot garage door, and then another 4.5 feet. And to scale, that comes up to the tree on the southwest tree, which would be the closest tree to the west. So that's why I came up with what I came up with. Matthew.
So this is Steve basically listening to the board. We're trying to figure out a way to get this done. So if we craft a an approval, looking at the findings of fact and looking at the legal principles, and I'm just playing around here, so don't motion somewhere along the fact that we approve a 3-foot variance based off feeling that there is a finding of unnecessary hardship based off the loss of the trees, the value of the lot as well as the cost of removing them and replanting them. That we feel that that is an unnecessary hardship. The unique circumstances of the age of the house with relationship to the general conditions of the neighborhood. We do not feel that, you know, I'm just playing around here. Randy, what's that sound like?
I think it sounds good to me. I was also playing around in my mind, and I guess I wish I would have tried to craft this perhaps earlier today, but in my opinion, the easiest thing to modify, I mean, obviously we have to come up with why it meets or how it meets the legal, but I think we're on the same page there, and and as you've stated, it definitely does affect the value of a property if it has mature trees or not. And so, I like what you're thinking, because I need help on if we're going to move forward with some type of a compromise. Yeah, and how we can legitimately say this is a doable option.
I would propose Horry County Board of Adjustment approves the Bellinger variance request with conditions as requested by the applicant and put forth in case beer for variance of 7 feet required a 40-foot setback. Conditions outlined would be that the setback would only be setback variance would be the encroachment up to 39 level is 7 feet, correct?
Correct.
Correct.
So if we say 3 feet variance, that would cut the garage down to 35
by 26.
35 by 26.
Correct. Conditions that's based how on
the hardship created by the removal, the cost of remove, the hardship created to the owner by the cost of the removal of the trees, as well as lessening the value of the lot.
Was that a motion?
I'm chair. I can't make the motion. I'm just trying to help craft one that would be acceptable.
Jerry, another thing that's important is that if you're going to grant a variance, who's going to assure that the setback distance that's being adjusted here is actually what occurs? I'm just thinking in terms of the inspection that we're going to be doing on the property.
Okay. Enforcement of said variance is directed to the staff of Story County
I guess I'm suggesting that the owners or the applicant provide that distance, that we have that assurance when we do the setbacks that they're able to demonstrate that it's whatever the distance is. It's a 40-foot setback. You know, is it going to be 37 feet instead of 40?
I'm happy to.
Extension.
Yes. Okay. We can add that, Jerry. We can add that to the amend to the proposed motion. Randy, do you have that?
Yeah. I'm working at it. The setback variance of 3 foot, and the builder will confirm the setback is 37 feet instead. Yeah, well, yeah, just confirm that the setback is 37 feet. I have a question for Jerry. I assume that this Story County would typically confirm when they do a footing inspection that everything is as planned in regards to the setback. Is that correct or not?
Yeah, with the granting of a preliminary zoning permit, the first inspection that we do is, you know, we're checking the floor plan, the footprint, what's proposed, what the project is, and we're checking setbacks, but we're basically checking their work. It's up to them, the property owner, the applicant, to show that the property line is identified and, like, where the limits of the project are. So, again, we're checking it, but we're actually checking the work that they've done.
Okay. So I know the setbacks, they vary, but a lot of times we pull from the center of the road. Sometimes we pull from sidewalks. So, yeah, I guess if Chadden is willing to confirm it's correct, then that's what I have written. And I just said, and the builder will confirm the setback is 37 feet.
Yeah, a lot of times
I believe they have property pins that they can make a line between. They've already found.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm also happy to provide drawings prior and as built after if need be. That would help accommodate or provide a structural maybe report or a visual. Here's what was proposed and here's what was built. And I could find a way to provide that for the county to assure that you've got the protection needed.
So, Amelia, you said that they have the property, like the pins located, but do we have plans showing where the house is located according to those pins? Because a lot of times in older construction areas, those aren't available, so we have to start making assumptions in regards to the setback.
I believe that's how they came up with the site plan. Chad, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but.
No, what I did is I was not able to find all of the pins, but I found enough, and then I triangulated all the corners, or the core corners of the house. So I basically went to the corner and triangulated off the pins and off the corners in order to site the house within the configuration of the pin. Does that make sense? So, like, basically, if I found a pin, I would triangulate the existing house so that my drawing of the existing house matched the site and the pin configuration, and I cross-reference that into a couple sites, or a couple pins, let me rephrase. Yeah. So that's how we did it. We basically, we took a 300-foot tape so that we could get a taut line from the pin to the house. And we also located them with a metal detector.
Yeah, we often suggest that applicants or property owners locate their pins, and if they can't find them, you know, we try to provide them with resources like information that's on Beacon. But ultimately, it's up to them to locate them, and sometimes that involves hiring a land surveyor to locate the existing property fence.
Yes, we found that at the bank level. Okay, so Randy, do you have a motion?
I do. I'll try here. I move that the Board of Adjustments approves the Balbiani variance request with conditions as requested by the applicant and put forth in case VAR02-20 for a variance of 7 feet from the required 40-foot front setback for the construction of a 39 by 26 foot garage, attached garage, at a setback of 33 feet from the property line. And then here's where, with the exception of a 3 foot variance, and the builder will confirm the setback is 37 feet. And the construction of the garage would then be 35 by 26.
Okay, so then about a second. We have a motion and second. Stephanie, roll call vote, please.
Brecky.
Aye.
Neubauer.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye. Okay, motion carried. All right, looking at the agenda in front of us. Board or staff comments?
We have another variance, Steve. Brand?
Yes, we do.
All yes, 1-20.
Oh, I missed that one. I'm sorry. Apologize. All right.
Oh.
Staff?
Yep, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So we started here. This variance request is from Andrew Friend. Last year, you may remember, they applied for a variance to add on to their home for living space for their growing family. The property owner is Andrew Friend, and the address is 16117 550th Avenue, Story City, Iowa. It's 1.875 miles northeast of Gilbert, and I did speak to the city of Gilbert, and they had no concerns about this. So the nature of this request, it is for an attached garage, and the request is for a 20 feet variance from the required 50 foot setback to 30 feet. The attached garage will be 56 feet from the western edge of 550th. Septic system provides a unique set of circumstances for the friend family. The dwelling lacks attached garage, and the dwelling nearby currently also have attached garages. There's some history there. Just kind of highlights. They're off of 550th, which is a gravel road with an average daily traffic of 130 vehicles a day. The last time that was pulled was in 2015, so not very heavily trafficked. That their home was built in 1930 prior to zoning. It is already itself within the required front setback. There is a detached garage. However, that detached garage is mainly used for storing equipment of their farm for what they do on site there for their farming operation. And the request last year was for a variance of 33 feet to allow the front setback of 17 feet where they were adding onto their dwelling. This is the city map. It is outside of any floodplain. Uh, There are some updated pictures there. They have started construction of the addition, which was part of that variance last year. And they have a proposed rendering of the new attached garage there. And that site plan, which is obviously very important, that septic system, they worked with environmental health to make it work. At one point, they had two laterals on the west side of the home and two on the east side. They worked with environmental health to create a system where they only needed one lateral, so they could move it all to the west side of the dwelling, and environmental health granted the friend family a variance. Normally they have to be 10 feet away from the septic system. They granted a variance of 4 feet, so this would be 6 feet from that in order to put this garage in this location. We'll get into the legal principles for our finding of unnecessary hardship. Septic system, the recent renovations, including that variance from last year and some fair work that they had done on the second story, limit the options for the location of any attached garage. It's practical to want to add an attached garage in their location, as this dwelling is the only one without attached. It also provides a protection from elements. We live in Iowa, we all know what that looks like in the winter. Cost of moving that the lateral or septic system in any way would negate the increase in any dwelling value increases that attaching the garage would be. And the plight of the owner is due to unique circumstances that they did not create. Again, the dwelling was constructed in 1930 prior to zoning. The septic system blocks construction on that western side of the dwelling, and the improvements that they have made along with that septic system constrain any available space to build but on the north side of that dwelling. It would not affect the essential character of the locality. As you can see from that drawing, it matches kind of that country living lifestyle. And with the location off of 550th, with that average daily traffic count of 130 from 2015, not likely to really affect any of the essential character there. Then granting the variance will not be contrary to public interest. This would still have a 30-foot separation from the property line and over 56 feet from the roadway. The variance that was granted already, its setback from the property line is only 17 feet, so it's further back than that. And then spirit and intent, the party is designated an agricultural conservation area. They do agricultural activities on their property. They do have a little farm there that they operate. And again, that 1930 build date for the dwelling is prior to any zoning regulations. So we did ask, as we always do, comments. You can see some of those not only in the staff report but in the PowerPoint. If you have any questions about any of those or like to discuss them, let me know. We can go over them. If not, we'll just keep going. All right. So as far as the points to consider, the project is necessary to add amenities that are common and essential for daily living found in most single-family dwellings. Now, again, the 1930 build date means that they're already kind of set in a spot within the front setback. Traffic is highly limited in that area. And again, that variance that was granted previously, this is still further away from the previous variance. And then staff is recommending that the Board of Adjustment approve the front setback variance request as requested by the applicant put forth in the case variance 01-20 for a variance to allow the proposed attached garage to have a front setback of 30 feet in the A1 district. If the board has any questions, I can answer. Mr. Friend is also on the line right now in case we would need to speak to him at all.
Board, any questions for staff?
Brecky has none.
Neubauer also has none.
Okay. Mr. Friend, any comments? By the way, I apologize that I missed it. I forgot to flip over my agenda here. So, my apologies.
It's okay. I would have spoken out if you tried to end the meeting without approving it. So I'll just have a couple quick points so we can all finish and get home. So you might ask yourself, why didn't we put a garage in the first place? And we didn't think it was possible because the septic system was on both sides of the house. And we've learned that you can do like a silco filtration system that really shrinks down the size of your septic system. So that's what we're doing. And also we like those trees, and not to talk about trees some more, but this year we discovered that the ash tree north of our house is dying, no surprise to us, and then the other tree next to the elm has a disease. So the trees are not as great as we thought. Septic system could be modified, so we thought, why not? Let's put this garage on here. So that's why we're coming back to you with the second variant.
All right. Any other questions, board or staff? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
No, the only question I was chuckling when Marcus was mentioning the winter and the elements we have in Iowa. As a farmer, it seems like the rain events anymore are almost more detrimental than the winter elements. Crazy. But go ahead, Matthew, if you were going to.
Oh, no, I was just going to, I was going to thank Mr. Friend for, he gets to go second. I will move that the board chooses option one on variance VAR 01-20, and that is approve the variance as requested.
Brecky would second that. Motion and second. Stephanie, roll call vote, please.
Neubauer.
Aye.
Brecky.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye. Mr. Friend, there's your variance. Again, thank you for your patience.
Yeah. You're welcome. Thank you for approving.
All right. Now going through the agenda. Now it's board and staff comments.
Yeah, this is Jerry. I'll just give you a brief update. Steve, you were asking at the beginning of the meeting about the status of the appointment of the new members. Again, due to House Bill 2512, passage of that by the legislature and approval by the governor, we ended up losing four total members, three from the Planning and Zoning Commission and then one from the Board of Adjustment. And so the board staff did post the notice. This is somewhat on a fast track, and we've accepted applications through, I think it was July 10th. And we did receive some applications. My understanding is the board would like to interview those candidates, which is a part of our process. Ultimately, it requires action by the full board to make an appointment to both the PNZ and the Board of Adjustment. But it's my understanding that's going to take place here shortly. So that's a positive step in the right direction, especially since we're down to three members right now. Wendy Schneider was appointed to the Planning and Zoning Commission. As I mentioned before, she expressed interest on her application, and also reached out to the some of the board members about her willingness to serve in the Planning and Zoning Commission if there was the need for that. And it came at a time when we were struggling to reach a quorum of the Planning and Zoning Commission. The next thing I was going to tell you about is Citizen Serve. Again, this is our new zoning permit application submittal software that the board approved. Very excited about it. We've been working on it for several months with the consultant. We've had some internal training with some of the departments here at the county. The first thing that we're going to be going live with will be the submittal of zoning permit applications. And tentatively, our go-live date is August 3. So that's going to come really, really quick. But again, like I said, we're very excited about it. Property owners, developers, builders can submit applications, all their information. It can be reviewed by the county staff. The applicants can track the progress of the reviews and the comments from their own devices, from home or from office. I want to give you a heads up for the August 19th meeting. Staff is going to prepare a couple of written findings of fact for the previous Perkins conditional use permits. I think I've updated you that the county lost the decision. The district court and the appeals court ruled that that the Board of Adjustment needed to take action on written findings of fact. So we are preparing, based on that decision from the district court and from the Court of Appeals, written findings of fact. It will likely be accompanied by a memo. Because the first conditional use permit involved the bed and breakfast, which included an addition, which was about 2,400 square feet, four bedrooms. It was to be ADA accessible, and it also included the separate events venue. The next CUP was a commercial campground RV park, so those two will be addressed. However, there's a nuance with the first one, which was the bed and breakfast, because in 2019, the applicant submitted two different conditional use permits. One was for an addition for one bedroom to be ADA accessible, which was followed up with a second one in 2019, and there was somewhat of a redirection on the vision for the bed and breakfast side of this operation. And so this second one, the second CUP, was really just to enclose this outdoor patio. So I'm giving you a lot of information, but I just want you to know that this is going to be on the agenda for the 19th. I'll accompany it with a memo to try to explain it. And then, of course, if there's questions, it's appropriate at that time to ask staff questions about it. The other thing that's exciting is the board bought a subscription to Zoom, and so they have been using it for their meetings. We've been using it for internal meetings. We've received some training on it this week, and it's very likely that our next meeting will be on Zoom. So with all that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Got a lot of things going on.
It has been, and we give quarterly reports to the board, and we actually increased our zoning permit numbers in our second quarter this year compared to the three previous years' second quarter. So, I think a lot of people were at home, and they were able to address projects, additions to their house, and adding sheds and garages and that kind of thing. So It was a pretty busy second quarter.
The other thing here is that we've seen in the lending game is interest rates at the bottom has fallen out of them, and you're seeing some pretty attractive rates, so people are taking advantage of those.
That's
indeed,
a good thing.
I heard.
Okay.
I've heard 2 3/4 is pretty common now for a 30-year mortgage. Is that what you're hearing, Jerry? I mean, Steve?
You're seeing 30-year run anywhere from, depending on when that bounces around, 2 3/4 to 3 1/4 for 30. We've actually written some 2 1/2 for 15. So, yeah, it's...
That's amazing.
They're staying home and they're doing projects. So,
Jerry, have you seen is it a lot of, you mentioned, you know, projects that would, thinking of kind of homeowner type projects, decks and sheds and stuff. is there continuing to be regular new home construction permits and whatnot?
Yeah, you know, usually probably the most common permit that we get is for sheds, garages, whole buildings, and then followed up by like new home construction or additions to homes. Marcus, are you still on? You want to weigh in on that? Marcus does all the inspections, so he's actually out in the field most every day.
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
Matt was just asking about the types of permits that we were getting, especially now. I updated the board on the fact that we had the largest number of permits over the last three years for our second quarter. And so he's just wondering what type of activity is occurring.
I got it pulled up right now. So we've had really normal quite a few single family dwellings, accessory buildings, decks, additions, 2 single-family dwellings, 3 mobile homes went in.
That's right. Yeah, we usually, every year we do the site inspections, and we noticed a few that were replaced without permits, and they came in and got permits. But we also have other parks that are really good about submitting the permit for review prior to bringing in the unit.
But it's been a pretty good mix of everything. There's not one thing really that is standing out that, you know, takes the cake. A couple of solar arrays, decks, porches, just a good mix.
The other thing too, Matt, is if you look at the distribution map, it's throughout the entire county. It's really nice to see. It's pretty common to see a lot of growth in like the west quarter or the west third of the county, but again, if you look at the agenda center for the it would be the July 7 Board of Supervisors meeting, we've got that information on there if you want to look at where the distribution is, and you can kind of see what the project what was.
Oh, that's helpful. Thank you.
Very good. Anything else tonight to bring before the board? The good of the cause?
Nothing from staff.
Anything for the rest of the board? Amelia, Stephanie, I have the findings of fact, and I have the print-off minutes as they were approved. I will sign those and scan those back to you.
Sounds good.
All right. I will call the meeting adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Perfect.
Thanks, all. Take care.
Good morning, everyone.
Staff, thank you for your patience.